sermons. But as I got into it, this will be part four, I think. So you can go back to the last Sunday of December, pick up and listen to it in sequence. So that's what we're going to be continue talking about today. And I don't know what will happen next Sunday. We'll just go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of flows you can go with, but we want to make sure that we are in tune with the Holy Spirit and go with the Holy Spirit flow. Amen. Father, thank you for your word that you have laid up on my heart to minister to your people today. I thank you that you take care of all the anxiety, all the fear, all that stuff that the enemy wants to throw on us. And I present this word as you have put it on my heart to present it, that my words would be seasoned with love and that people have an ears to hear what you have to say. And we thank you for it. And everybody said amen and amen. So the last couple of Sundays, as I said, or maybe this is the third Sunday, I don't know, that we've been talking about moving forward, which is our theme for the year. And the only way that you're going to receive anything from God is not quit. It's to keep what? Keep moving forward. The first thing you have to do and keep moving forward is to arise, to get up and start. Amen. So our scripture, of course, was found in Job 17:9, where it says the righteous keep moving forward. And those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. So the Holy Spirit is definitely encouraging us that this is not the time to quit. This is not the time to sit down and back up or shut up. Amen. This is time to proclaim the goodness of God and keep moving forward. Forward meaning onward so as to make progress. And the only way you make progress is to get up and start moving. Progress meaning to move forward in one's work or activity. And we talked about how that God was a God of progression, that he is constantly moving us forward in our relationship. Marriages fail because there's no progression in that relationship, and it becomes stagnant because of lack of communication. Amen? So then you just separate, go find somebody else, and the same thing happens when you haven't dealt with the first issue to start with. That's meddling. Okay, let's go on. Well, so we talked about God being a God of progression, and we should be growing and going. I like those two words. We should be growing and going from glory to glory. Amen? From glory to glory in our Christian walk with God. And, you know, we should have the attitude of Paul. We went over the scripture that Paul said, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolutely fullness of what I'm pursuing. But he said, you know, I ain't got it all yet. I'm still a work in progress. Okay? But I go ahead and I run with passion. Even though I don't have it all together yet. Now, we'll talk about but yet in a minute. But yet, I'm going to still move forward into what? His abundance. Because that's where it's found at. So that I may reach. Why am I doing all this, Paul says? So that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. And the awesome thing Paul says to us and to us, to himself, is I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. The Holy Spirit enables us. Amen. I do have one compelling focus, though. So we have to stay focused. The enemy wants you to unfocus. He wants you to get you off focus of what your purpose is here on this earth. He said this one compelling thing that I do is I focus. I forget all that past. All the past. Remember we talked about the windshield of the car is bigger than the rearview mirror. And Jerry came up to me last Sunday. I thought it was very interesting. He said when they were training for his school bus license, they said you want to be conscious of everything around you. And, of course, I've heard that from Kenny because I keep my mirror down. I look at myself, fix my hair, make sure my eyebrows are da-da-da. And every time he gets in my car, he fusses at me because my mirror up there is crooked. So he says, you got to keep your eyes open everywhere. And that is so true because we don't want to live in the past. Amen. But we've got to be aware of the devil's schemes because there is a real enemy out there, as I said before, that is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. So we keep our focus ahead. And the only reason that we're looking around observing is making sure the enemy ain't sneaking one on us. And every once in a while, we do get hit by a fiery dart. Amen. We do get hit by a fiery dart every once in a while. He says, but I have this one compelling focus. I forget all that past, all of the past, And this is the key to forgetting all the past. As I fasten my heart, the real part of me, the part of me that's in relationship to God, I fasten my heart to the future instead. Wow. So we who are the righteous that keep moving forward and making progress, we that are born again, those who have made Jesus as their Savior, and we welcome our new brother into the kingdom of God. For those of you that may not have been here, we welcome you into the kingdom of God, brother, and you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of the blood he shed for you. Does that mean that you are perfect and you're going to mess up and all that? Sure, but always return to the cross. Always return to the cross. Your past is the past, and the future is much brighter, much bigger than your past ever could have been. And your relationship with God is based between you and him and not anybody else around you. And you get that right. You get that horizontal thing right, and that's your relationship with God. Then all of these other relationships is going to come into focus, says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we who are born again, those who have made Jesus as their Savior, are the righteous one. Not because of anything you've done, but because of everything that Jesus done. Hallelujah. You can't make yourself righteous. So the sons and daughters of God, Jesus was made sin. We are made righteousness. We are the righteous ones. That's why our hands are clean. And that's why we get stronger and stronger. How do we get stronger and stronger? By getting into the Word and finding out who we are. Remember, we said the enemy does not want to know who you are because there is power in knowing who you are. You know, in my life, I've been put in job positions. Nobody told me what to do. And it was frustrating. It was discouraging, you know. So we have to know who we are. 2 Corinthians says, 21:5 says, but Christians possess the righteousness of God because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. He took all of your yuckiness, all of your messes, all of your stuff, and put it on himself at the cross way back then because he knew you are right now. Wow. He knew the future. So who made no sin for us so that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. So we stand before him today, clean and pure, even in our messes and stuff. He doesn't see that. He sees the blood. God looks at us. He sees the blood. And he says, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you're doing. I'm proud of you for not giving up. I'm proud of you for keep going when everybody says to quit. I'm proud of you when you do get hit by the fire dart of the enemy. You don't give up because you're fastened to me and you keep moving forward to the future. This means that we are made righteous in the sight of God, that we've accepted as righteous and treated as righteous. God treats us as we are righteous. You know, you don't disown your kid because they mess up. There's times when you want to, and you like to kick them real good. But see, our Father God doesn't relate to us as our earthly fathers do. Aren't you glad of that? Because they're human, and human beings are going to fail us. That's why our faith is always in Jesus, because he never has, never will, no way, no how fail you. Amen? So by God's account of what Jesus has done. So we, as a people of God, as sons and daughters of God, as I look over the house today, I believe everybody here is saved, that you are the righteousness of God, as far as I can tell. So we are, as a people of God, have no excuse not to move forward. You have no excuse to quit and sit down because Jesus never quit on you. When he wanted to quit, when he went to the cross, he had you on his mind. Amen. So he didn't quit and give up on you then, and he's not going to now, and we shouldn't give up on him. God is not looking for people who have it all together, but he's looking for somebody that's willing to say, here I am, Lord. You can use me for your kingdom purposes. So we talked about looking back to the past that keeps us from moving forward, getting stuck there in our minds. We're living back there when God is saying, that's not where I'm taking you to. You don't get in a car and drive backwards to get to where you're going. You get in a car, seat forward, face forward, and go forward. So to get there, to move forward to there, is to arise, then keep your eyes straight ahead. Fix your eyes straight ahead. So what about when you're thinking you're unworthy for God to be part of what God's purpose is in the earth? We've all faced unworthiness at times. Amen? Because the things we've done or other people makes us feel unworthy. You're in good company. If you're feeling unworthy today, then you're in good company, because a lot of people in the Bible did. But God used them anyway. Many of the people God used mightily in the Bible were not the first draft pick. That's okay with me, because I got picked. You know, I may not have been the first one in the line, but I got picked. Not because I was good enough or righteous enough, but because of the blood of Jesus. These men and women all had one thing in common. They had a heart that was fastened to God. They had a heart that was fastened to God. It's David's heart was always continually after God. And what a mess his life was in. But what happened? David kept turning back to God. He kept turning back to God because his heart was fastened to him. So they all had one thing in common, a heart that God knew he could use for his kingdom purposes. And God, I found out that God takes great delight in using people who most seems to be the unlikely ones. Amen. So I'm going to read you a few things that's interesting to you, and you've probably heard it before, but these are some characters of the Bible that God used mightily. And if you know you've got issues and things in your life, it's not that you don't work on them and say, well, I'm just going to continue in sin and God's just going to keep on using me and all that and not try to get over it, because it hinders your testimony. Okay? But we've all got things we're dealing with and we're overcoming. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old to produce children. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair. Oh, look at that. And you get up there, you just sang your little heart out, brother. Samson had long hair, was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair, was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. I won't ever do that. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. And she didn't have nothing to worry about. She worried because she didn't have nothing to worry about. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. He had to get up to see Jesus. Paul was religious. And the biggest thing of all, Lazarus was dead and he still had a testimony. So if you don't think God can use you, he can. But like I said, it's no excuse for you not to deal with issues in your life, because it ruins your testimony. It's what happens. It's not that God can't use you in the mess, in the issue or whatever. It ruins your testimony as a Christian. Amen. So what is our excuse from moving forward and going to the place that God has called us to? So all those biblical characters that I just shared with you were human, but God chose to call them and send them forth to do great things in his kingdom. So, the first thing is, if we don't have a right understanding of God, of who God is, it's in the weakness of those issues we're dealing with personally that wants to keep us stagnated from going forward, that wants us to keep stagnated in the present. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about God? What comes into your mind when we think about God is the most important thing that can happen to us. Because if you don't have a right perspective of God, if you think he's a hard taskmaster, if I say one thing wrong or do one thing wrong, he's going to cast me off, or he's going to hit me on the head, or he's going to hold it against me, then that's going to hinder everything else in your life. Because you won't be able to think that you can approach him in time of need. So what you believe about God will shape everything else in your relationship with him. It will shape everything in your relationship with him. So the first thing that we have to do is we start with God, who he is, how he has revealed himself, what we believe him to be, and what promises he has made to us. And so when we are faced with those difficulties of life that wants to stagnate us and keep us in the past or keep us from moving forward, when we are faced with the issues of the things that we're overcoming, we always have to go back to who God is. So when we're in that difficult time, we won't be blaming God. When we're in that difficult time, we're going to say, well, I'm sick because God wants to show me how he can heal, you know. Or if something bad happens, and this is just God's way of punishing me, You know, so when we go back to those difficult times, if we have that attitude, if that's how we think, we won't get anywhere. But God's not a hard taskmaster. He loves you. So if we get an understanding of who God is, his character, we will have the right foundation to face whatever comes our way. And you know, if you don't have that right perspective of who God is, everything you read in here won't make no sense. You'll go back there and you'll continue to live under the law when we are under grace. So I've seen so many Christians become paralyzed in life because they're waiting because of issues and things in their life. They're waiting to overcome. You know, when I quit doing this, when I quit doing that, when I do this or when I do that, then I'll go ahead and do what God's called me to do. But I have found out that my greatest healing has come as I have pressed in to my relationship with God. And as I go, I have been delivered. A lot of other things I need to be delivered from. But praise God, we're not where we used to be. But you cannot allow those things in your life to stagnate you to the present. But I encourage you to press into God. Because the more you focus on something, if you have some kind of addiction, realize you've got it, admit it, ask forgiveness, go on and do something about it, and then keep on keeping on. And as you go, you'll be delivered from it. You'll just wake up one day and it'll be gone. And I believe that, church. I believe that. You've got to press into what, you know, the woman with the issue of blood. She had to press to get to her healing. What if she gave up? What if she looked at her circumstances and her difficulties? But she said, I'm going to press through this crowd. And sometimes you have to press through in order to get your healing. So before they move forward, and where was I at here? He is love, goodness, and kindness, full of mercy, grace toward all of us. And I just went over how that you need to press forward into God. And as you go, you will be delivered and healed. So as you live in the present, you look forward, the wrong will be made right. As you live in the present and look forward, arise and go forward, the wrong will be made right. See, it's all about your heart issue. It's all about where your heart is and knowing who your heart's fastened to. If it's fastened to the things of the world, guess what? That's where your attitude's going to be. That's where your decision-making's going to be. But your heart is fastened to God. Then as you go, all things will be made right. So we're going and growing, as I said, from glory to glory. Romans 8:25 tells us, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, I wrote about that in the article. I like that. Yet have. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, what do? We wait patiently for it. We wait patiently for it. You don't have to pray for patience because you will get patience when you live life long enough. You will learn patience. The Passion Translation reads it like this, but hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, moving forward, we patiently keep on waiting for his fulfillment. Now the hope we're talking about is not wishful thinking. That's the world's way of hope. Our hope is founded on the promises of God. And what he has, he's put a tag on it, yes and amen. That's what our hope is fastened to. Not yet, a two-letter word, two words, three letters, that carries a powerful punch once we begin to realize what it is. Not yet, describing that something is expected to happen, but has not at this moment. So when somebody comes up to you and says, well, you know, your daughter so-and-so, is she saved? The current situation is, the fact is, no, she's not. But you don't need to stop there. You need to say, no, she's not yet. That, when you do that, that brings God. Woo! That brings the word into the situation. Amen? So not yet, the three-letter word, that two three-letter word, not yet, describing that something is expected to happen, but has not at this moment. Wow. So when we are overcoming issues in our life, when we speak to us, when we begin to speak to the truth to them, which is what the word says. This word, there's many facts, but this word outweighs all facts. This word outweighs all reports of doctors or anything else, of science or anything else. This word is the truth, and it will outweigh everything else if you believe and trust in it. Amen. So when we're overcoming and facing those things in life, that's what we have to go back to. We have to fasten our heart to the word. When you are searching the word, you're speaking truth, as I said, which is the word. And when you speak the truth, you are bringing, like I said, God into the situation. You are creating an atmosphere then for God to begin to work with you on that situation. Two are better than one. Amen? So you're bringing God into that situation for him to begin to do something about it. You're speaking of things that you've not yet seen, but to be known to be the truth. So when you are saying, well, they are not delivered yet, not yet, then you're saying, but I have faith to believe that my children will be saved and they will be serving the Lord. Not yet, not yet. It means that you're relying on the promises of God to be fulfilled, because that's the promise he gave you. So living in the presence, trusting God as we move forward, believing his promises will be fulfilled as we go, as we go. Romans 8:25 that we just read, but if we hope for what we do not have yet. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. And that's where we go forward with faith, trust, and believing that there's more to it than just what we're experiencing at the moment. Habakkuk 2:3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But what does it say? But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So as we talked about last Sunday, how God wants us to live in the present while moving forward. Do you have a vision for moving forward? Or is your vision still back there? Or is your vision for right now? Or is it getting bigger and say, wow, I see some big things out there. God is wanting to do some big things. What is your vision? It says in the Bible to write it down. Make it plain. Amen. What do you want God to do? What do you see God doing? You know, sometimes I'll be preparing for summer, a sermon, and I've heard Holy Spirit say, I'll say, God, what do you want me to minister to the people? You know who's going to be there. You know who's not going to be there. There's been a few times when God said, what do you want to preach? So sometimes God said, hey, what do you want to do? Woo! Sometimes God just leaves it up to you because he trusts you. Why? Wow. He trusts you because your heart is fastened to him. So sometimes we're waiting on God to tell us something to do. And God says, hey, what do you want to do? You're my baby girl. You're my baby boy. I love you. What do you want to do? You know, I trust you enough to say, hey, God, I want to do this. He'll say, well, you go for it. I'll back you up. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Amen. So where was we at here? So God wants us to live in the present while moving toward the future. So if you're going to receive the promises of the word, then you must at all costs, not become stagnated in the past or the present. And, you know, we talked about last Sunday how that some people suffer from what? Spiritual stagnation. Stagnation means a state of not flowing or moving. And what happens, have you ever been around a water that's been stagnated? You know what happened? It stinks. And that's where our stinking thinking comes sometimes, because we get stagnated in the past or right now and thinking there's not anything more. So when we start stinking thinking, as Joyce Meyer says, we start talking stinking talking. And we attract all this stuff to us that's not good. Stagnate water gets all that moss and all those things on it, and it's nasty and dirty. So when we begin to do that, we begin to look at ourselves that way. So this is what happened when drains are blocked. Your miracle is ahead of you, not behind you. You want to keep the water flowing? The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. You want to keep that water flowing? Keep moving. Keep moving. That's how fresh water is. It keeps moving. It keeps pouring out. So your now present turns into the future one day at a time. Faith in action, though, is what keeps us going, compels us to keep us moving. Remember what I said at the beginning of the service, how that faith... Nothing is impossible. The word says, nothing is impossible for them that believe. Faith in action. What is faith in action? It is doing, believing, and speaking the word of God. That's faith in action. Amen. And the enemy wants to stalemate and how cause your faith to become stagnant. Faith in action is what is going to compel us to keep moving. And that requires all of us to have a vision of moving forward. Not just an individual a vision for your family or for yourself, but it's a body. It's us as a body. It's us as New Life for the Nation as a body to have a corporate vision, to take our gifts and our talents and say, listen, let's remember I talked about unity. There's power in unity, amen. There's a blessing that flows from God in unity. We take all this and put it together, and I have no idea where I was going with that, but it was good, amen. So that requires a vision of moving forward. Not just individually, but as a body. So we can't get stuck in the past or get stuck in the present. We have to have a vision of moving forward. A lot of things have happened. They're wonderful and good, but I know there's more. There's a big windshield out there in front of me, and the future is bright. Amen. There's a lot out there that we've not arrived at yet. Zechariah 8:20 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come. Okay? God intends to do things we cannot see at the present. Zechariah 20, where God makes an astounding promise to the Jews who returned from exile. They found Jerusalem, their town, in ruins, and they found themselves under the control of the Gentile nations. A time to be greatly discouraged, you would think. So in chapter 8, we can see the amazing promises, though, that God makes to his people that are discouraged. Promises that at that time must have seemed, fantastic, but also unbelievable because of the position they found themselves in. They came back to their town, everything was destroyed. But here God was saying, this is how it's going to be. This is your future. He says, I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of his people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me? Then he goes on and says in this chapter, verse 7, I will save people from the countries of the east and the west. As you have been an object of cursing among the nations, O Judah and Israel, so will I save you. And you will be a blessing. I have determined to do good again to Jerusalem and Judea. So if you are one of discouragement this morning, don't be discouraged, because discouragement is just losing your courage. That's what discouragement is. God wants you to get your courage back. So the end of this chapter broadens the promise to include a vast number from the Gentile nation also. He says, many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come. In those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take firm hold on one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. So he said to his discouraged people today, you have no idea of all that I have planned to do through you, but you will possess it by faith as you live in the present and move forward. So things may seem bad today, but doesn't mean that it will be bad this time tomorrow. Or this time this afternoon. In a blink of an eye, things can change. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, I've got big plans that you can't see at the moment, but the day will come when all these things come to pass. Living in the present, moving toward the future, where all these things will come to pass. So that word is for someone that is discouraged today. God has great plans for you. Get your courage back. Get your hope back. Stir your faith up by getting into the word and quoting what the truth is, not the facts and not the things people have said. Your life may not have been as you had wanted. Choices you made are choices that were made for you that you had no control over. But God has got you, and the plans for you are great. The plans for you are great. So God is saying there are multitudes in what I just read that will come into my kingdom who today are very, very far away. And I believe God is sending help in your situation. And at the moment, you may not see it. Your loved ones may seem far away from God. Those that you work with may seem far away from God. This nation may seem far away from God. But our responsibility is keep praying, keep believing, and keep trusting, and keep moving forward. Amen. That is their responsibility, because if we're not careful, we will get discouraged. So when we go back to that Zechariah chapter that I just read, has not yet been fully completed. Its ultimate compensation waits the day when the Lord Jesus returns to the earth. So he said, all this is going to happen. But the final thing of what this is, he says, I'm coming back for my kids. I'm coming back for my sons and my daughters. Amen. In the meantime, until that day happens, we have to live a gospel to minister. We have a life to live and a gospel to minister, a moving forward to do, taking hold of God, fastened ourselves to Him, and keep moving forward. And I believe that we're going to see a great revival in the land. Amen. Because God has said gross darkness may come, but He said, my light's going to shine out there because my glory is going to be seen upon the land. The devil's just stirred up now. Amen. He has stirred up big time. I believe he kind of knows what's happening. So in Zechariah 8, we can see God's great desire was to see the good news spread across the whole earth. And that's his same desire today, to see the good news spread to whomever and whosoever will. And it's not apart from the preacher of the gospel, not apart from our prayers. Why? Because he chooses to use us. He chooses to use our voice. He chooses to use our eyes and our feet and our hands to go forth and spread this good news. So this life on earth has a past. This life on earth that we're living has a past. It has a present and it has a future. And it's left to us what we're going to do about it. It's left to us how we're going to handle it. It's left up to us how we are going to proceed with it. But like I said at the beginning, it's not in our own strength that we do these things, as Paul said. It's not in my strength that I accomplish those things. But I do it with a passion as I fasten myself to it. Because the past, the present, the future flows together in what we call life. And if we get stuck in the middle of any one of those, we will not be able to grow or go from glory to glory. So we have to take the past and we have to learn from it. You know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But we don't go back and we don't dwell on it. We don't allow it to keep us from moving forward. Amen. So, and we take the past and learn from it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But don't stay there. The present is awesome as we live out the purpose for our lives in the earth now. That's where we're at now. Now faith is. We have no more greater opportunity than now. And our now propels us to go into the future. The future, we have a vision for it as individuals, as families, and a body of Christ. As New Life for the Nations goes forward in this year, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ and ministering that good news. Believers will go forward to what God has for us. So as we continue to go into this year, remember that word, not yet. Many promises have been given of God. I have not seen them. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. So what are you waiting for? While you're waiting, keep praying and keep believing. Just because things seem impossible doesn't mean that they are. We need to continue to believe God is able to do far above and beyond what we ask or imagine. Then we will face the future with quiet confidence. I don't know, there's just something about that, quiet confidence. Quiet confidence. Isaiah 30:15 says, in returning to me and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence and trust is your strength, but you were not willing. But we want to be a willing people that says yes. And I want to encourage you that God is not finished yet, and neither are we. Amen. And neither are you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I thank you for this time that we have had together as a body of believers to come to your table and feast with you this morning, Lord. Thank you for this time of praise and worship. Thank you for this time that we've entered into your presence and magnified you. Because after all, it's all about you, Jesus. We're so thankful your word today, Lord, that has propelled us to keep on believing and to be fastened to you in everything that we do and to have a right perspective of you and know that you're for us and not against you. And you're trying to get all the kingdom of God to us and knowing that the kingdom lives in us. Then we can go forth knowing that you're going to back us up. You're just saying, what do you want to do this year? What do you want to do?
What do you want to do? Hallelujah. Thank you for the gifts and talents that are within these people. I speak to them to be aroused to that today, to be passionate about what God has told them to set their hands to in the body, God. I thank you for raising up prophets and teachers and evangelists and workers and all of the fivefold ministry in this body to come forth in Jesus' name. There's people here, Lord, with talents that have not yet come forth. And I just believe in this season they're going to, because they're going to be stirred up to say, what can I do for you, God? And I thank you for that. Lord, I speak your blessings over them in the name of Jesus. And I just speak your favor highly rests upon them, because they're highly favored of you, God. Your blessings are running to overtake them in Jesus' name. I thank you for continuing just doing a healing in Pastor's body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you as we go forth from this place today, that we just go forth knowing that you are God. And we just believe that nothing is impossible with you. Not yet. We've not seen it all yet. But we will. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen.